I got enough time if you got the Bible. 1 Corinthians, hurry. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You knew we were going to be there anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read a few verses. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I said Corinthians, didn't I? That's Romans chapter 12. I'm sorry, Romans chapter 12. Now, I'm turning to 1 Corinthians 12 in a minute, but I'm starting in Romans chapter 12. I'm in a hurry, I'm sorry. Now, he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, let me tell you something. When we got saved, the Spirit of God moved into us. Now, if we allow Him, we can be transformed through Him, not us. Now, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And I told you, that's His Spirit, His fruit, not yours. It's Him in you, working through you and out of you. Do you understand? I'm rehearsing for just a minute now, okay? And so He's working in you, and He's working through you. And by doing that, He gets the glory, and you get the benefits. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, all these things. Now, I said the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 4 through 8. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or everybody. And now he says, for there's one given, for one, to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing every man severally as he will. And he talks about us being one body. Now, the gifts of the Spirit, that relates to your conduct. God gives you gifts so you can behave in such a manner that glorifies Him through those gifts. They don't glorify you, it glorifies Him, okay? And if you ever take credit for it, He'll probably take it away from you. Amen? Now, it's identified by the work, the gifts of the Spirit are identified by the work that it enables. The Holy Spirit enables these works. Now, it's not you, that's Him. A man that preaches is a preacher. A man that farms is a farmer. You're identified by your work. And the Spirit will tell you what your gift is. And then the real gifts are given to serve others, we said in 1 Peter chapter 4. This guy comes running along and he says, have you ever spoke? Hey, have you received the gift? You remember when they used to do that so much back in the 70s? They, do you have the gift? And I said, yeah, I've got it. Amen. To as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become sons of God. And they said, no, the gift of being filled with the Spirit, speaking in unknown tongues. I said, that ain't in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. Well, do you have the gifts of tongues? I said, no, that's the gift of languages. That's an old English word. It means languages. Now, God will give us gifts, I said, but He enables us. He calls us, and then He enables you to do what He called you to do. And then I said, we must cooperate with the Holy Spirit in order to receive the gift that He wants to give you. You can't be in rebellion against God and have the gift of a gift of the Holy Spirit working in your life. He's not going to do that. Because He's not going to get any glory out of you. And so if it's for His glory. Now, I said there's diversities of gifts. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're not going to go there. I'm just telling you where it's at. There's 15 spiritual gifts mentioned. 15 of them. There's 15 spiritual gifts mentioned. Now, why is it that all they ever talk about is one? Why is that? Because they're biblically ignorant. That's why that is. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I've been doing this for about 39 years, and I think I got the right to say what is biblically ignorant and unlearned. And babies do a lot of things. They don't know what they're doing. They're real proud of what they did. Especially little boys. Some of the nastiest creatures you'll ever meet in your life. And then they'll grin about it, you know. they'll grin about it. We talked about the gifts of prophecy, and we said New Testament means forth-telling, not foretelling. We don't need any future telling anymore. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. And there's no more prophets mentioned anymore after John the Baptist. That's it. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And I said that. And then I said, and I got to hurry. I'm doing too much rehearsing here. And then I said, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 7. That's where we left off. Romans chapter 12, verse 7. He talked about having differences in verse 6. In verse 7, well, verse 6, he mentions prophecy. And then verse 7, he says ministry. And then in verse 8, he says exhortation. And in the next, he says giving, he that giveth. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now, tonight, we talked about the ministry last week. We talked about not the ministry that people call the church work, but the ministry of ministering to others. That's the gift of ministry. You can do that at Divine Manor. You can do that at White Oak. You can do that at the hospital. You can do that at your next door neighbor's house. You can do that down at the schoolhouse or up at the jailhouse. You can do it at the church house. Serving others. Not everybody's a servant. Let's be honest. And sometimes me and my wife get mad at people. Well, we don't get mad at people. We get disappointed, okay? And we'll say, why don't they see it? Well, they don't see it because they don't see ministry. They don't see ministry. They see something else or only what they want to see. But a person that has the gift of ministry is always ministering to other people. And you don't have to ask them to do it. And you don't have to type out a list of this is what ministry is. They just go minister to people. And I think we got some in here tonight. And then we talked about there in verse 7, teaching. Now, that's a gift of love in the Word of God enough to take time to study it so that you can share it. Amen. A lot of people say they love the Word of God, but they don't read it enough to be able to share factually and intellectually and spiritually like somebody that has the gift of teaching can do. You ever heard somebody teach and when they got through you said, wow, I never thought of it that way. Or you say, wow, I've been reading that same passage for 40 years and I never saw that. Well, that's the gift of teaching, see. Some people have it. Some people have it. And then, so we talked about that. And how it's a gift of love in the Word. And then we talked about in chapter 12, verse 7, exhorting. And that comes from a word that means a calling for one to come near. In other words, they exhort people to come near to Christ. They call people. They encourage people to come to God. Come to God. That's exhorting. Now, a preacher's job, I said, is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Yes, sir. Is that not the truth? Yes. I like that so much I'm going to say it again. A preacher's job is to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. Bob Jones said one time, he said, if somebody didn't get mad at me at least once a week, I think I'd backslid. He says, it's my job to stir you up. Amen. And so sometimes not only do I comfort, but I afflict. Now, an exhorter was one who encouraged and motivated others toward being good and doing good. That's what an exhorter is. Now, a lot of people that are exhorters, and you would think they were preachers because you've never thought about these gifts. And there's a lot of women, I think, who are good exhorters, but they've been misled or misunderstood to think that they're preachers or pastors. And but they're good exhorters, see. And then now, Romans chapter 12, if you look at verse 8 with me, Romans chapter 12, let me get back over there, look at verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or him that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. And we talked about giving last week. Now I want to stop at this one, he that ruleth with diligence. He that ruleth. I want to talk to you about ruling. Now the gift of ministry is simply the gift of serving. It doesn't come by birth. You don't inherit that. God has to give you that. But it's not the same as the pastoral ministry. It's not the same thing. The gift of ministry is serving people. Pastoral ministry is doing everything, just about. Just about. I met somebody going out the door one day last week, and I said, he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Well, I'm taking my paint hat off and I'm putting my yard hat on." Now, ruling by nature, our sinful nature. Think about this. Most everyone wants to be in control. Me and my wife watched Monk. I don't know if y'all ever watched Monk. Monk's my hero. I love Monk. Monk's going to be in heaven. I know he is. He's too clean not to be. But that song that they play on Monk, you know, that song that guy wrote about everything's dirty and everything's poison, everything, and it says it might kill you. But in part of that song, the first of it, it says, "Who's in charge here?" Well, that's the way I feel about everywhere I go. It seems like everything's helter-skelter and nobody's in charge. And my wife will punch me and say, "You're not in charge here." And I say, "I ought to be. Somebody needs to be. This is a mess." They had a school thing this week, and she said it was total chaos. Who's in charge, you know? But not everybody can be in control. Not everybody can be a, listen to me now, ruler. I'm not talking about a dictator, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's not the same. Control produces a bad thing. Sinful want to control produces sin. I thought about that. Envy, jealousy, hate, unforgiveness. Because if you're trying to control through the flesh, when people don't let you, then you get mad at them. And mad goes to hate and unforgiveness and all kinds of things. So we're not talking about that control. Not like your boot camp sergeant. Okay? We're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. Leadership, leading, ruling.
Yes, sir.
Okay, y'all still with me, okay? Now, turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Come on. We got to go faster tonight so y'all won't say I kept you too long. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you. Well, there's that word. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. This is a Baptist church. We vote on everything. Well, then you're going to be in total mess pretty soon. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. You ever heard somebody say, "Don't do as I say as I do"? That's not a ruler. That's not a leader. That's a hypocrite. Considering the end of their conversation. See, it's not talking about words when it says conversation. It means lifestyle. Consider their lifestyle. Because you're known by what you say, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, okay? And then skip on down, verse 17. Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. Boy, that's a bad word right there. I bet you won't find that word submit in those new translations. Submit yourselves, for they what? Watch for your souls. as that they must give account. Now, there ain't nobody else in this building got to give account to you but me, what happens here. That they may do it with joy. You know, I get joy out of helping people, leading people into righteous things and doing right things. And I don't know why other people do it. I get joy out of seeing people be successful. And not with grief. In other words, if you don't do what they're leading you to do, then it grieves that leader. Okay? Now, for that is unprofitable for you and ain't going to help you. If you don't submit. Now, a lot of people come to our church. I know they come to our church. And they don't agree with everything I say. And I know you don't either. I'm not near as dumb as I look. But I know this scripturally, whenever the leader, the one that has the authority, the one that has been called by God, if he's doing his job, you got to say he is ruling something. He's ruling something. I don't rule you personally. I can't come down to your house and tell you how to hang your pictures and cut your grass. I wouldn't want to do that anyway. I hate doing it at my house. I have a leader at home that tells me how to hang. Well, she ain't much at hanging pictures either. She loves to cut grass. But the point is, the pastor is worthy of following. If he's not worthy of following, then don't follow him, or go find you one that is worthy of following. Really, think about that. If the pastor of a church is not ruling that church or leading it, use whatever word you want to that don't offend your little tender feelings. If he's not doing that, he's not doing his job. And if you called him just to stand up and speak three times a week, you don't know what the Bible says about the pastor's office. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. I know that. I'm the least of most everybody in here. I know that. And I'm not the smartest. I'm not the wisest. But he's called me the pastor of this church, I think. I'm not talking about control, but now listen, control produces bad feelings. Control, fleshly, carnal control produces. That's why churches have splits. You get a preacher in the flesh, or you get somebody else trying to run his job in the flesh. By the way, why do you need to hire executive pastors and business pastors and this pastor and that? You're supposed to have a pastor. And if he ain't going to do a job, fire him and get somebody else. Don't need to pay five people to do what he's supposed to do. I know churches grow and they need help, things like that. Leading produces followers. Wanting a leader who leads into truth and righteousness by word and example. I read it right there. You want to read it? It says that right there. I read that. It's the reason I wrote it down. The reason I wrote it on there is because I couldn't remember how good that was unless I wrote it down. But leading produces followers. And it's done by a person who is ruling things, making things. God put, look, the average church nowadays is a karaoke bar. That's all it is. Everybody wants their minute under the lights. Everybody wants their minute at the mic. Everybody wants some applause. Everybody wants to be recognized. Nobody wants any authority. And by the way, I don't know if you remember this, but God gave Moses' sister leprosy for saying the same thing against Moses. Hello? Now, I'm nobody, but I'm just saying, some people have a gift of ruling. They can do that. Now, I know I'm helter-skelter around here half the time, and whoever took that picture and put it on Facebook that day, I'm still mad at them when I was standing up here doing this. Looks like I should be on the Alzheimer floor. I don't know who done that, but if I ever find out, I'm going to show you what a ruler is. Now, this one particular gift is a God-given ability to lead people of God right. Have you ever noticed I don't say much about the president or politics here? I don't. I found a note the other day over here in one of these seats, and it says, you think he's going to mention the new abortion controversy? You notice I hardly ever do that. You notice I hardly ever mention the LGBTQRSPMICKY or anything else either. Because, see, those things, those people are not here. You're here. I'm not wasting my time leading people who don't want to be led. They're not here. I'll hit on it every once in a while. I'll throw a big old rock at it and get right back on my sermon. That's a God-given ability, because if you're in the flesh, you'll waste all your time on stuff like that. I'm against abortion. But you know, there's a lot of young women, a lot of older women now who were misled when they were younger to do that, and they don't want to hear about it every Sunday. And they're not the ones that's guilty. Come on. I'm against homosexuality. But they ain't here. And there's probably some folks in here that have been misled by those people, maybe even abused by those people. And they don't want to hear that every sermon. They certainly don't want a whole hour on it. Y'all still with me? I'm against sin of all kinds. But listen, if you're going to lead people rightly, God gives you that ability to do that. And because this ability comes from the Holy Spirit, we realize that not everyone has it. You know, when Israel failed, every one of you is going to remember when I say this, and it said it at least five times in the Old Testament. When everyone did that which was right in his own eyes. Somebody's got to keep us focused. Stay on the subject. Stay on the picture. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, listen. We are commanded in Hebrews 13 to follow somebody. I'm not trying to defend me. I'm defending the office of pastor, leader, whatever. And God gives that. I've known some great preachers that were real good rulers, and I looked up to them. I loved them because they were so much better at it than I am. But it's a gift. It also, I looked it up, it also meant, that word means this, the one standing forward, taking the lead. Or, as the scripture says it, leading diligently. They're not napping, they ain't falling down the job. They do it with all their might. They're doing it diligently. And that's a gift, because you know how hard it is. You herd cattle, don't you? Cattle's pretty easy. Just throw some food down, they'll run over you to get it. Do you know how hard it is to herd sheep? Dumb sheep. Do you know how hard it is to when there's a goat in the crowd? You ever tried to get a goat to do anything? Huh? They'll stand there and look at you like, you talking to me? You ever tried to put one of them's horns on the ground? So I just want you to touch the ground. He ain't going to touch the ground. He'll die before he touches the ground. Unless you cut his head off and then put him on the ground. So the gift of ruling is simply this. God gives somebody the ability, the courage, the strength, whatever you want to call it, to get at the front of the line and say, okay, come on. And by the way, we all want somebody to rule us.
Yes. Yes.
You know why there's denominations? Now, this is true. Our fellowships, I'm talking about Baptist fellowships too, but or any other kind of fellowship or religious organization. You want to know why? Because people want to belong to something bigger than they are. Everyone, here's what it is. You're either a leader or you're a follower. Because everybody wants to belong to something bigger than they are. And the problem is, they put themselves under rulers who are not gifted by God, and they lead them to join a denomination or a fellowship or a brotherhood or some kind of something that's bigger than he is, because he thinks he's supposed to belong to something bigger than he is. Well, I do. It's called the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen. We've got God the Father is the president. God the Son is the vice president. And God the Holy Ghost is the sergeant in arms. That's bigger than what we got. Amen. Now, he says, Pastor is worthy of following. Here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. If somebody ever comes to you and say, well, I'm tired of my pastor. I don't think he's leading, or I don't think... Number one, say, well, let's go talk to him. Number two, say, okay, well, let's just leave right now and find another church, because if we don't have a good pastor, ain't no need to go here. Let's just go find another church. And they'll say, well, I don't look, I can't find another one. And you say, well, I wonder why. You know, it ain't me, it's the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about leadership and followership. But who's the one standing out forward? Who's the one taking the lead? Who's the one, not only that, but like the Scripture said, they lead diligently. In other words, they don't lead a week and get discouraged and quit, or a month and get lazy, but they lead diligently. Now, whether that one leading in the ministry of a local church, or if you be in some kind of other ministry. Ron does the nursing home ministry, full nursing home. I've never seen a man that is ruling a ministry like that, full nursing homes. And he's faithful to them. That's a gift that most preachers won't take, by the way. I've been there, I've done it. I know how hard it is. Now, Sunday school work, building construction, cleaning up, social, recreational, all these things require leadership, and they require somebody to be in charge. It ain't always me. I don't want to be your recreational director, because I know how fickle you are.
Well, I don't want to play that. I want to play this.
Well, then let's don't play, okay? I don't want to be social director. I don't want to be the one to say, let's eat outside. Because I know most of y'all are going to say, it's so hot. A Sunday school teacher will have his gift. Wouldn't you say that? Sunday school teacher ought to, if you're going to be in charge of a building committee or something, you ought to have this gift. Amen? Amen? And by the way, if you don't think that's hard work, ask Brother Crouch how hard it is just to get a cover put over a deck. This gift is to be diligent, but humble, not as a lord, not as a dictator, not a dominating bully over God's heritage. And I've seen that over and over and over, how some pastor jump in there and it's my way or the highway, and you're going to do this the way I said it, or you're going to go, or nah. Well, I ain't like that. If you want like that, you better go join the Mormons or something. I don't know who's like that anymore. But I've seen preachers bully people, and I've seen them dominate people. I've seen them dictate. A fella got mad at me one time because he taught the adult Sunday school class. And he showed up with a friend one Sunday morning, and I knew his friend. His friend went every Monday night with me to preach at the detention center every Monday night. Good man. He'd invite people out. He'd go in there and pray with me, pray for me and stuff. But he invited him, and he said, I've asked him to teach. And so the man gets up. He said, I only have one thing. Before he gets up, I knew he used the American Standard Bible. I knew it. I saw it every Monday night. I didn't say nothing to him. I wasn't his pastor. It wasn't none of my business. He's a good man. And so before he got up, I said, okay, we're going to have brother. His last name was Jones. Yeah, was that you? His last name was Jones. I said, before Brother Jones gets up, I just got, there's two requirements to teach Sunday school. Number one, you got to be saved and know it. Amen, I am. I said, number two, you got to use King James Bible. And he looked at his Bible. And I said, just in case you don't have one, I'm going to leave mine up here. You can use it. Now, don't you think that's pretty cordial? And I went around and checked on the other Sunday school classes. I come back. It wasn't 5 minutes. He said, well, I'm through. He said, because Preacher Roddy won't let me use the American Standard and the references don't match in the King James Bible. And I thought, well, that should tell you something. He cordially sat down Monday night. He was back at the jail. Wasn't mad at me or nothing. He just figured that's my conviction. He ought to honor it in our church. That next night, that man that invited him called me, said, I want to meet you at the church. And he came down there, and we sat there, and I didn't know what he wanted. And he began to rake me over the coals for embarrassing his friend and embarrassing him. And I wasn't nothing but a stinking dictator. And I thought I was in control of everything around there. By the way, he came from a Southern Baptist church. And I said, well, I'm sorry you feel that way. I love you. I love your family. He said, well, we're leaving. Well, I'm not putting up with this anymore. You ain't nothing but a stinking dictator. And he jumped up and he said, you can have your key. And he took the church key and threw it at me and walked out the door. And he told everybody that I run him off. Now listen, that's dominating bullying is not, it's not leading. It's not the gift of if we do things like that, you'll prove it's not a gift. You know, this person leads as a gifted person, not a boastful or proud person. They'll never brag on it. They'll never push. They'll always lead up front. They'll always be in the front. I get tired of people hanging around in the back and then talk about the ones up in the front. I ain't talking about the seats. I know y'all all right back there, okay? I'm talking about the work of God. They hang out in the back. They don't hardly ever do anything. While everybody else is out front working for God, they're back there criticizing how everybody else is doing it. And I just want to look at them and say, what are you doing? If you're busy people ain't got time to look at what everybody else is doing. Amen. So if you wasn't standing still, you wouldn't see that. Why don't you just go on and get something to do? And by the way, if you want to be the leader, why don't you go find you a nursing home? Why don't you go start you a church? Boy, that went over. That went over real good. Leadership always produces fellowship. Other than pastor or deacon, and these are the only two offices in the church that have requirements. I know there's some churches, if you've been divorced or remarried, you can't even sing in the choir. That's not rulership. That's dictatorship. By the way, if you rule out divorce or remarried per people now, you rule out 50% of the population. At least 50% of the population. Who are you to say they couldn't do nothing for God? The Bible doesn't say that. They can't be pastor. Can't be deacon. Not here. Some churches they can, but not here. And I know there's discussions over why. I understand that. But it doesn't mean they can't preach. Doesn't mean they can't teach. Doesn't mean they can't have a ministry. And if a person wants to serve God, God will give them positions. And if you're honorable and you're faithful in what He gives you to do, He'll give you more to do.
Amen. Sure.
Like Donald Trump. He said, you tired of winning yet? You tired of winning? I like that. There's certain positions that can be male or female, young or old. It doesn't matter. I had a young woman choir director one time. The brethren thought I'd done went apostate. Hall Roy, have you ever seen requirements in the New Testament for song leader or choir director? There are none. She just isn't to have authority over men. She doesn't sit. Now, we're talking biblical authority. Don't tell me your wife ain't got authority over you sometimes. I know yours does. Don't even look like that. Pastor and deacon, yes. And they have to have this gift. Have to. But there's other ministries that have it too. These people need it. Some people say, well, he ain't old enough to pastor. Where's that at in the Bible? Well, she ain't old enough to teach Sunday school. Or she's too old. Where's that in the Bible? Churches that don't take this gift seriously. I thought about this. I ain't got time to read all everything I thought about. Did you know that as a gift, it becomes an enjoyable thing, not a burden? And that's exactly what the Scripture teaches us. Churches that don't take it seriously, I wrote this down. Many claim the position, and they get it, then never lead. And the church falls apart. Many want the title, but not the responsibility that goes with it. Many start and quit. Many wear a tag. But they fail the team. You ever see these guys, they wear tags, say they wear either collar or big old cross. You know, they wear them big old crosses. Or a t-shirt that says pastor. A lot of people get the tag and don't do anything. They don't have the gift of leadership. They don't have the gift of what to do or how to do it. They don't. It isn't something you work into. It's something you call to, and it's given to you.
Yes.
God bless Jason Coley. I loved him to death, but he talked us into ordaining a boy one time. If I told you who it was, you'd know. And the boy was about... I'll just be honest with you, he's about half crazy. He didn't know anything about the Bible. He stood up in front of Sunday school. He was assistant adult Sunday school teacher. Me and my wife were sitting on the front one day. And he said this. He said, sometimes I get so depressed I feel like blowing my brains out. And I told my wife, I said, I don't want to be in here when he teaches. It might be today he decides to do that. But Jason was so compassionate for this young man. We was about to vote the presbytery, the group of preachers, and we'd investigate him when we got. He said, "What do you think, Brother Ron?" I said, "He didn't quote one scripture. Not one scripture did he quote for the questions we asked him." I said, "I don't think we're going to do it." Well, Brother Ron. He was already pastoring this church. They just called him. He's already pastoring. I said, no, he ain't. He's preaching. I said, it won't last. It won't work. He said, oh, come on. I said, what are we going to do about him not knowing the Bible? He said, he'll learn as he grows with them. I said, no way. I wanted to blackball him so bad, and I did not do it. And we voted him to ordain him, and he wasn't there 6 months, and he failed. And since then, he's failed several times. A lot of people start, but without the gift of rulership and leadership, and it's just a tag you wear. Did you know a lot of churches are destroyed or die simply because someone politicked their way into the position but not called? Did you know David had a son named Abner that did that? He was a politician. He didn't like his daddy, as mad as daddy. He run all over town, politic to people in high places until he had everybody following him, and they run David out of town. Y'all remember that?
Yes, sir.
How long that lasts? Not long. Now listen. If you're gifted, you'll always be ready to work at it. Won't nobody have to beg you. People's come to me and they said, licensing me to preach and all this stuff, and a year later they ain't preaching. I don't know where they at, and they ought to be honest and send me the license back. He that ruleth with diligence. You know what? You rule your house. Everybody in the house, there's a ruler in your house. Somebody's in charge. And did you know God gifted men with that? If they'll take it, God will give that men that gift, that they'll be the ruler of their household. But most don't take it, so the woman has to do it. Why is it getting so quiet? Ain't nobody look up here. I ain't said pray. It's the church I got saved in, having a business meeting, and the pastor started to stand up and say something, and one of the deacons looked over at him and said, Pastor, you sit down over there and shut up. We pay you to preach Sunday morning and preach Sunday night and preach Wednesday night and marry our children and bury our dead and visit our sick. You ain't got a say so in this. I'd have got up and left.
Yeah.
But he didn't. So, I'm not talking about me now, okay? I'm talking about God gives gifts to people, and we ought to recognize those gifts, and they ought to be recognizable, and we ought to honor people for what God gives to them to do.
Yes.
Amen. Well, kind of quiet tonight, but we're going to say amen anyway. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for loving us.